Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, if you ask me, from bradblog.com, occupying your public airwaves tonight for my last night here. Been in for the last 3 or 4 days covering for Mike Malloy. Mike will be returning after the holidays on Monday, never fear. Your long national nightmare will soon be over. Until then, you got me, and I'm glad you could join the show here. We are broadcasting from the left coast at the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. As I say, it's my final night for a while, and then I disappear back into the blog, back into bradblog.com, where I, by the way, can use your help. And that is why tonight is sponsored by Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, American Democracy, Politics in Crisis, a political thriller in which yours truly actually shows up as a fictional character. Yes, Brad Friedman gets the fun of informing the president-elect, the independent, progressive, third-party president-elect, that the election may have been stolen in the state of Georgia. Not by him, but by one of the other two parties that are running. It's a really fascinating story. It portends a lot of what we're seeing with Occupy Wall Street right now. Trust me. If you don't trust me, stop on by the blog, read Ernie Canning's review. But if you click on the top where it says Imagine Politique and purchase a copy, the proceeds go to Brad Blog. Thanks to Richard Averitt. We will send you out a signed copy. He'll sign it. I'll send it. And you will make my day and make my reporting possible, frankly, for the 2012 election cycle as the nightmare begins once again. And I need your help because I am not supported by corporations or foundations. It's just me counting on you for your help. So that's Imagine Politique at bradblog.com. While you're there, by the way, buying one of those, stop into the chat room and say hello. We'd love to see you there in the live Bradblog chat room. It's hopping there. And you can also tweet us at the Bradblog. We'll be taking some of your calls, hopefully even this hour, if we get time, at 877-520-1150 with my next guest, who I am just delighted of. Speaking of books, after you've bought Imagine Politique, I got another book you're going to want to buy by my next guest, Catherine Cryer. I hope you remember the delightful Catherine Cryer, formerly of CNN, ABC News, and Court TV. She is the author of the new book, Patriot Acts, What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. Oh, man, I need that book. I think we all do. Hey, Catherine, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad, long time no chat.
Way too long time no chat. What happened to you? Everything was going fine. You were at Court TV, and then what? All of a sudden, you were gone.
Well, Court TV became True TV, and that was just a little too much of a reach for me.
Dude.
You know, I'd been fighting the good fight on Court. They'd hired me to do basically law politics.
Right.
And over time, there was a push, just like occurred on the more newsy networks, mm-hmm. to do a little more sort of tabloid sensational. And I still would close, even if we were doing Michael Jackson or Anna Nicole Smith,
right.
I would close with a political commentary. But by the time they switched to True, I said, that's about as far as I can go.
You
didn't
want to continue with the reality TV? You could have...
Not my thing.
No, not your thing. Well, you know what? You are great. Missed, and not only because you were one of the few folks in what I'll call the corporate media who looked at the stuff that I was trying to report about what is going on in our electoral system, in our democracy, and helped get it out there. So many of the folks, and I'm going to get away from this in a second and get over to your book, but since I just spent the last hour ranting about problems in our electoral system, an election that has flipped in the state of Utah on paper ballots because the Diebold Opscan machine is unreliable.
Oh, sure.
a county in Pennsylvania where the Republicans are fighting to have an audit of these touchscreen machines, and the voting machine company is threatening to sue them if they dare to look at it. You know, these, I think, are important items, and you were kind enough to get them out back when you were at Court TV, so I've never gotten a chance to thank you for that, so allow me to do that now.
Well, you took the lead all the way through. You have carried that message when no one else was talking about it, you know, through thick and thin, and for that I have just tremendous respect for you.
Well, you're very kind. Here's the bad news is that nothing has gotten any better since last we discussed all of this.
Which breaks my heart because that has been a while back. But, you know, as you said, that really has been a mission of mine, and I think I'd like to claim integrity through, you know, throughout my journalistic career, where people will say, you know, she didn't sell out to an ideology. Mm-hmm. She really sought the truth, and that continues to be my mission with this book.
Well, and clearly it is, because I've been reading up on this book. I confess I did not get a copy, so I wasn't able to read it before we came on, but I've been reading up about it, and you know, it's some extraordinary stuff here. But so let's start at the beginning, and then we're going to get into some things, because I do want to talk to you a little bit more about what specifically is going on right now in our streets with Occupy Wall Street, concerns that I have, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on the mainstream corporate media and how they have been instrumental in helping us get into this soup, as I see it. But first, let's start with the book, Patriot Acts, What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. Okay, I'll bite. What must we do, Catherine?
Well, one of my passions, and you know, just quickly for listeners who might not know, I mean, a pre-law student, it was all, you know, politics, international affairs, history, government. You know, through law school, prosecutor, civil litigator, sat on the bench. You know, my time on the bench, I was handling civil cases, even like major S&L litigation, savings and loan litigation, you know, in the 80s, this sort of thing. Then, of course, investigative journalist, news anchor, political talk show host, you know, for the last sort of 18 years.
And I did mean to former district court judge. Actually, I meant to mention that.
Right.
I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of everything from which is an elected position. So, you know, law, elections, politics, journalism, you know, political host, pundit, and this is now my fifth book. And, you know, so I sort of covered the range. And what I'm clear on right now is that we have to look at what the republic is and understand that has to be defended first. Then we can play all the ideological games we want. But unless we understand what the founders created, what the republic is, and what is sacrosanct, you know, what we cannot disturb, or we are literally going to throw what has made the American system so great and the envy around the world, then we can play ideology. One of my favorite quotes in the book is from John Adams, and he said, "Ideology is the science of idiots." and so I really try and explain to people what the founders created, and you had great fights. I mean, there was a major left and right back then in 1789, and the Constitution was called the Grand Compromise because James Madison basically, you know, beat both sides over the head and said, what we want is a level playing field. And he got them both to give up their quest to bend the country left or right. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, we're going to create this great level playing field and rules of the game. And then the voters every 2 and 4 years will listen to you and decide whether we're going to move to the right or to the left within that playing field.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we are threatening to you know, tear up the turf, destroy the boundaries, and literally throw the republic out in a quest for, you know, ideological domination. And frankly, I think everybody knows that is really coming from a far right conversation that seems to be the controlling voice in the conservative movement and the Republican Party.
Well, but Catherine Cryer, how can that be? We hear that the media is liberal. We hear that Washington establishment is liberal, that a liberal controls the White House, a socialist, Marxist controls the White House. How can it be that the voices from the right have such an effect on this fight that we find our nation in at this point?
Well, again, for the viewers at home, I was an elected Republican judge in the 80s. I'm not a commie pinko pig. You know, I'm a good Texas girl, and the conversation that I have and sort of my own ideology really, I'd like to believe, comes from, you know, empirical evidence and sort of primary sources. And when I argue in the book, you know, what the founders believed, I don't interpret. You know, I'm quoting that what they wrote, what they said. I look at, you know, the science or economics or military history and try and take you through, which is what's always driven me, is I want to look at empirical evidence. And when you talk about that conversation about sort of the liberal media, this and that, I tell people, I said, Richard Nixon would be considered a liberal Democrat today.
Yep.
If you took Reagan's name off the policies and just listed his policies, from raising corporate taxes in 86, from declaring that capital gains should be taxed the same as wages, from, of course, wanting to, you know, end all nuclear weapons and negotiating with the evil empire, go on and on.
Amnesty for
the Republican primary.
Yep, that's right.
So left and right, both parties have moved dramatically to the right over the last 25, 30 years. So it's pretty hard. And then when you look at Obama, you go, my God, you know, the guy kept all of Wall Street running the economy, kept all the military guys handling the military, reduced taxes for 95%, continued the Bush tax cut. He's deported more illegal immigrants. He's gotten more terrorists off the list. I mean, other than Obamacare, individual mandate, which came from the Republicans in 1992.
Yep.
I mean, I can't quite see where the socialist Marxist stuff is coming from.
No, and of course, it's not coming from anywhere other than being made up as a political scheme, you know, to move Republicans forward. And, you know, I say the same thing. I don't know whether you consider yourself a Republican anymore or not.
I'm a very healthy independent because I'm pretty mad at both parties.
There you go. I join you exactly right there, Catherine. Well, you know what? We got to take a quick break here. Then we'll have a short segment, but then we'll have a long segment with Catherine Cryer, the author of Patriot Acts, What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. Oh, boy, do we need that right around now. And we will take some of your calls, if I can fit those in, at 877-520-1150. Speaking with Catherine Cryer, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, in for Mike Malloy all night long here. Glad you could join us. Stay with us. Much more straight ahead.
We can make it love.
Tony. Welcome back to the Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com sitting in doing my radio duty here, drafted into duty for just a few more hours tonight. We're speaking with Catherine Cryer, formerly of CNN and Court TV, a former district court judge, and a former Republican district court judge, I should add, now a fierce independent, as she says, author of the new book, Patriot Acts, What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. And you can get more information and get that book at patriotacts.com. That's patriotacts.com. Okay, Catherine, got just a short segment here, so we'll have to keep this short-ish and sweet, but we'll have much more after the bottom of the hour break here. You know how this goes. I see over at patriotacts.com, you've written, Capitalists of America, Unite. Now, I've had, you know, I've often said out loud, well, I'm a capitalist. I believe in capitalism. And I've got a lot of crap from folks on the left who says, how dare you? Look how what capitalism has done to us. And I say, this ain't capitalism. And I see that you speak to something very similar. Give me an idea. We got only a minute or two. We can pick it up after the break. But what's the difference?
Let's pick it up, because this is so integral. Yeah. The subtitle to that article was Why Adam Smith Would Be Marching Today.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I go back and spend several chapters in the book going, Adam Smith wrote Wealth of Nations in 1776, the founding of capitalism, to protest the marriage of big government and big business in England. And he, throughout his manifesto, says capitalism, you know, fair, you know, sort of free market, mm-hmm. broad-based economic opportunity can only happen if you prevent the concentration of wealth and power at the top. And the only thing that's big enough to counter the, you know, the corporatism mm-hmm. is government. And he tells us we must regulate to preserve capitalism. So I really try and explain to people what we have today is not capitalism. And when they say deregulate big multinationals, they're not defending capitalism. And that's an important conversation.
It is. And we'll get to talk a lot more, hopefully, about that after the break. The difference between capitalism and what we have now, which is corporatism. And I would say even worse, it's become crony corporatism.
Very much so.
That has completely corrupted our system entirely.
And it's the marriage of big government mm-hmm. and big business. So both are at fault, and we have to understand that.
And so contrary to what Republicans tell us now, the founders didn't believe it should just be a free-for-all, that businesses should do anything they want.
Although, important distinction is the liberals, Thomas Jefferson, loved Adam Smith, loved capitalism. The founder of conservatism, Alexander Hamilton, is even called Machiavellian capitalist, crony capitalist in many of the big biographies, and we can talk about that after the break.
We will.
He wanted to marry big government and big business.
And, well, success. We're speaking with Catherine Cryer of Patriots Act, her new book, PatriotsAct.com. You're listening to Brad on Mike Malloy.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Not scared at all. Stuck in the middle with you for another hour or two. Your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and now broadcaster, sitting in for Mike Malloy for one more night. We're speaking with Catherine Cryer, formerly of CNN and Court TV, author of the new book, Patriot Acts, What America Must Do to Save the Republic. You can get more information, of course, at PatriotActs.com. Before I go back to Catherine, just some very quick business. Let's see. A shout-out to Rich at Occupy LA. Jeannie Dean, an Occupy LA person, is here helping us out tonight. She said that Rich is a fan. We should give him a big shout out. And that Progressive Radio has saved his sanity. Oh, glad to hear it. Sorry, Progressive Radio is so difficult to come by these days, even in Los Angeles. But keep up the good fight out there, Rich, and let's see, our phone number. That's right. We're going to take some calls this hour. Would you like to get in a question or a thought for Catherine Cryer? 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. 50, and all right, let's get back to Catherine. And Catherine, I would be remiss if I did not point out that when I mentioned to my mother that Catherine Cryer was coming on, she was very excited. She, every night, she said, whether it was CNN or Court TV, she would make sure to watch your show every night, Catherine.
Hi, Brad's mom.
There you go. You just made her her Thanksgiving. Now she won't be as mad at me for not going home to see her on Thanksgiving. So,
I'm not going to make it back to Dallas either.
Oh, no, I am sorry to hear that. All right, so we're speaking about this sort of the, pardon me, but the bastardization of capitalism, what it has become now in this country. And you write in your essay over at patriotaxe.com, Capitalists of America Unite, you write that despite warnings by prescient Republican presidents like Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, and Dwight Eisenhower, the American system has morphed quite predictably into a dog-eat-dog economic Darwinism, and the big canines have rigged the game in their favor. Flying the capitalist flag, the really big guys have completely corrupted Adam Smith's free market philosophy. They use their concentrated wealth and power to buy off politicians, skate around regulations, abuse their privileges, and sometimes break the laws to win. Wow, you're not going back to CNN anytime soon, are you, Catherine?
But again, I'll be glad to argue facts with anybody because it, you know, it's, oh, my God, what an ideology, you know, mm-hmm. sort of left-winger. No, yeah, actually, go back and read Adam Smith. You know, follow the research. Look at how you know, corporatism began to grow. When you listen to Republicans today, mm-hmm. and what's the pitch? They say we want, you know, small government, low taxes, completely deregulated, you know, market, mm-hmm. keep the government out of our lives, strict construction of the Constitution. Well, they're preaching the radical liberal Thomas Jefferson. Just go back and read mm-hmm. what he was saying. The Democrats until the Great Depression were small government, strict construction, low taxes. On the other hand, Alexander Hamilton, the founder of conservatism, who was really the power behind the Washington throne and our first Secretary of the Treasury, first thing he does, he steps in and he goes, I must have a federal deficit. And he bought up all the state debt from the Revolutionary War. And the states were screaming, don't take our debt. And Thomas Jefferson, the radical liberals, going, don't, you can't do that, not constitutional. And he goes, watch me, because they all knew he wanted the federal government to get stronger, bigger, and control the national economy. And then he says, look, farmers, shopkeepers, little guys aren't going to help me out. I want to grow this big, powerful, dynamic economy to compete with Europe. So he starts marrying big government with the big, wealthy interests in the country. He gets the Supreme Court to interpret the Constitution in one of the very, very early cases that granted power mm-hmm. to the federal government rather than restricted power, that decided that anything in the Necessary and Appropriate Clause, you know, would allow him to create, it gave him implied powers to create the big central bank. Well, it was the liberal going, strict Constitution construction. You cannot do that. So he, you know, he builds this, and it's both good and bad. Mm-hmm. He built the canals and the roads and the banks and turned this country very rapidly into a big economic powerhouse, whereas the liberals, Jefferson, Ben Franklin, they wanted, you know, small, more bucolic, kind of isolationist country. Mm-hmm. So both sides have their good and bad. But we've got to understand that right off the bat, he began to drive a reinterpretation of the Constitution that then, you know, granted personhood to the corporations in 1886, and,
right.
you know, and continue right on through the Citizens United decision last year from the Supreme Court, where all of a sudden now we've basically legalized corporations buying our elections. You can track it through. It's not, you know, it's not a leftist ideology at all on my part. It's basically understanding history, the economy, and the empirical evidence that's been laid out for us for over 200 years.
And you're right. And, you know, you've drawn the line back to the founding of this country and this fight, you know, between big business, corporatism, and capitalism has been going on since then. But it seems, you know, Dwayne in chat at the bradblog.com chat room writes that Cryer sounds like an Eisenhower Republican, now to the far left of Obama.
he's pretty observant. I write, I think it's sort of second chapter, I grew up in Texas, mm-hmm. and the Republicans, there wasn't even a Republican primary in Texas until 1960.
Right.
And basically it was the conservative Democrats who felt there, you know, that the Democrats had left them, that they'd gotten too liberal. But it was this, you know, it was this progressive, yes, a business party, but let's lift everybody up. We want to build universities and, you know, and get everybody going when it came to cultural issues. What you did, and, you know, was your own business, and I wasn't about to pry, very, you know, sort of libertarian,
mm-hmm.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but, you know, we're not gonna leave anybody in the street. Very, very different, and very much what you just described, probably more in that Eisenhower influence. But like I said, Nixon would be radical with the EPA and some of his welfare and all of this. So,
well, even Ronald Reagan. I mean, that's what's amazing.
Okay.
So the, you know, I've been reading, and I had hoped to have him on last night, David Frum, George W. Bush's old speechwriter, coined Axis of Evil. He couldn't come on last night because they had that GOP debate, but he wrote this amazing piece in New York Magazine this week. When did the GOP lose touch with reality, he wrote. And so as this fight that you discuss and the pull between, you know, corporatism and real capitalism has been going on, you know, for now a couple hundred years, suddenly it's like it's on steroids. And his article is titled, When Did the GOP Lose Touch with Reality? What was the trigger, Catherine Cryer, that has placed us where we are today, where it's just we have lost touch with reality in this country? And how much of that, and this will move us into another topic, has to do with our media, our corporate media?
Well, I mean, I absolutely think a lot has to do with it. I was working on it and pitching a book on the media before I wrote this one, and the publishing houses will go unnamed, but I talked to several of them. They loved it. But because I went after the entire media, left and right, everybody,
mm-hmm.
and really argued about where the fourth estate has been failing the American people, they said, you know, if you just go after, you know, the left, then we can pitch it to the right. If you go after the right, we can pitch it to the left. But we don't think anyone will want to talk about this because you're going after everybody. So I find that the media tends to be very, very thin-skinned across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'm not at all happy because I think that it across it, it, you know, when I joined CNN, there were no other cable news channels,
mm-hmm.
and we would do programming that we knew would have viewers turning it off. It was sort of PBS. It might be too boring. It was very substantive. A lot of international stories, and back then it didn't have this sort of liberal moniker.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get the competition, they're all, you know, in the race for eyeballs. Too much sensationalism. Too much superficial sort of horse race kind of things,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't go now to the internet and thankfully some newspapers, you're not getting substance, you're not getting a lot of meat, and it's very tragic for me. But you know, this the whole left right nonsense, it's a corporatist environment on both the left and the right.
Well, it is left-right nonsense. It's a phony paradigm. But as long as you're not at CNN anymore, let me take the opportunity to beat them up a little bit. They do what Jay Rosen, a New York University media professor, calls the view from nowhere, where you know, the left says this, however the right says that, and you decide. They have no opinion. But you know, they'll report that the left says it's sunny out, whereas the right says it's raining. Well, we can all go to our window and look and see that it is, in fact, sunny out. Why can't, whether it's CNN or anybody else, just say it's sunny out? And I don't, and damn the other party who's going to get mad at us for you know, saying it's sunny when the facts are the facts.
Well, that you're exactly right, because you know it's certainly fine to chastise the left or the right if they're delivering you spin and ideology, but if they're going, you know, here's what the CBO says, or you know, here is what happened in, you know, 1932 or 54 or 67, mm-hmm. and you can look at facts out of a history book, then I'm sorry if it bends something to the left or the right, but we need people who are willing to say, this is the deal. And when we listen to a lot of the debates, a lot of information that comes over the airways, guests, political guests, that come on and basically state bald-faced lies.
Yep.
And you will not hear a mainstream journalist step up to the plate and go, you know what? That's not only a misrepresentation, it's a lie. And I don't care whether it's coming out of the mouth of someone from the right or the left. That's the media's obligation to the American people.
I agree. And yet, CNN, and by the way, I'm focusing on CNN here, but it's obviously it's true on all the other networks as well. But, you know, CNN will actually hire people who are liars, and you know, some of their analysts, you know, from the right, these people who are known to be liars, and they'll bring them on as analysts for debates because they're from the right. I mean, it seems as if there's no line drawn anymore to say we're going to tell the truth, and if it's you know, it doesn't work out well for Democrats or Republicans, so be it. We're going to tell the truth. You know, at this point, I'm sort of blowing off steam, but
well, it's
I think
to me
that
because there's a great case to be made on the conservative side and on the liberal side. But I guess based on my sort of notion of what is liberal and what is conservative, you know, the conservatives, as I said, for decades were the ones driving the building of infrastructure. When the Democrats were the ones saying, you know, we're not going to give you the money for that. I mean, Lincoln fought for the Transcontinental Railroad. Mm-hmm. You can go all the way through. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody should get credit where credit is due. And now all of a sudden in the last 30 years, not a dime. And privatizing all of these things that really should be not a province mm-hmm. of a socialist government, but under the general welfare clause, there are certain things that really shouldn't be, you know, a profit-driven enterprise that the American people will benefit contributing their tax dollars for their general welfare. Big projects, big things. You know, it used to be that there was a great conservative conversation about that. Obviously, there are a lot of things that you and I could say that had come out of the liberal movement that, you know, whether it's our Bill of Rights and the expansion of rights and the protection of you know, interest of the middle class, all these sorts of things. But instead, we get in these little ideological boxes mm-hmm. that are modern ideological boxes.
And there
is no correspondence to the past.
I got to get to a break, Catherine.
Sure.
Catherine Cryer, PatriotAxe.com. Yeah, that's why I don't call them conservatives anymore, because they're not. Your call straight ahead. Brad in for Malloy.
So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide.
I think Tony's in a Thanksgiving mood. Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. A few more short minutes here with Catherine Cryer, author of Patriot Acts. What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. We're going to take some of your calls if you want to get in. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Next hour, it is all your calls. I'd love to hear from you. Use your public airwaves. Use them or lose them even more than you already have. 877-520-1150. If you have a question for Catherine Cryer, now is the time. Next hour, however, I'm going to want to I want to hear what you're thankful for. If you can find anything to be thankful for these days, let's hear it. I'm sure you can. Catherine, before we went to the break, you were referring to what conservatives used to believe in, things like infrastructure and so forth. And I would also argue rule of law and the Constitution and all sorts of things that they don't seem to give a damn about anymore, which is why I don't call them conservative anymore. I think we do them a favor, frankly, when we call them conservative, because they're not.
Well, that's one of the hardest things about figuring out how to write the book is it probably took me several months just to figure out how to utilize the terms liberal, conservative, progressive, because I realized I had to go back to sort of 1776
and talk about
what it was then and then take the reader all the way through to show how the parties have virtually flipped positions on several important things, but how and what certain characters have remained very much the same.
I'm going to have to read the book just to find out what a liberal is, because I have no idea what that even means anymore. Let me get, because I'm up against the clock, let me get in a quick call here from Mary. Oh, Mary in Iowa, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad.
Oh, this is Mary, who stands out on the highway with the peace sign. I love you, Mary. she's great. You have a question for Catherine Cryer,
well,
Mary.
Brad, you're good. If you weren't, I wouldn't mention it.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, but you remember the older woman that said time, that was hit with the pepper spray?
Yes.
And said time is of the essence. She had lived through Nazi Germany.
Yes.
And I am really afraid that time is of the essence. Anyway, I saw and heard that they have, the military is making new machines for crowd control.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is, it's radiation, but it won't hurt you. It won't hurt
yes.
you.
And sound cannons and heat cannons. Mary, I'm up against the clock. I want to get an answer from Catherine. You wanted to know about the legality of these new systems, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
They're horrible.
Catherine, you have a thought here in the middle?
We're our occupiers.
Well, I have a real problem, and I've got a long chapter on national security, and I go back to 2006 when the Congress went along with Bush pressing to expand the martial law powers, to making it almost exclusive decision of a president, even in economic times, if they're threats. So there are tremendous constitutional issues that are continuing to be ignored today, not in the Bush administration, but for the last 30 years and ongoing today, that unless the American people understand and object, then back to the title of the book, we must defend the Republic, and yes, in fact, the Republic is under serious attack.
Mary, thank you for your call. I'm sorry, we got to run short here against the clock. Catherine Cryer, author of Patriot Acts, What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. Check it out, buy a copy in time for Christmas at patriotacts.com. Catherine, not enough time. Let's try to do this again soon. You're great. Thanks for your time.
Great to talk to you, Brad. Thanks.
You're awesome. Good luck with the new book. Hope to talk to you soon, and have a great holiday.
Thank you.
All right. Coming back to your calls at 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike Malloy.